Tommy Head Blues Beer Show. We're sitting in Mike's car drinking beer out of styrofoam cups.
In the parking garage.
In the parking garage. About to enter Huey's in downtown Memphis, where we're going to go watch Bobby Rush play acoustic blues, and we're going to have every single good beer they got on the menu. There's two. So it won't take a whole lot of work. But we're starting off this show with about our only good beer we're going to have. The same one we had last show, Dogfish Head in Mort Ale, 11% alcohol. Smells good, and I guess it goes down good in a paper, in a styrofoam cup. Mike, you didn't have this because you weren't here. You were on assignment.
Right.
What do you think about this?
I love it. I took my first sip, and I was pleasantly surprised. Very complex.
A lot of smoke.
A lot of smoke, a lot of things going on with this beer. I really like it. Matter of fact, I'm going to take another sip.
Good. I think that's always a good sign when you can force yourself to take at least two sips of a beer. But Rick was saying this is a Scottish ale, in which I've had mixed reviews of Scottish ales. But this is a great beer. So this is a good way for us to kick off. And this is kind of like what we're hoping to hear. Some smoky blues with all kinds of interesting notes, and tells a nice little story.
You know, it kind of reminds me of drinking scotch.
It has that kind of peat
yeah.
smoke. I don't know what kind of smoke they use in it, but it wouldn't surprise me if that wasn't it. So we're going to see Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush was born in the 40s, came up, was originally a blues singer, and then in, I believe it was the mid-70s, he kind of fell in with this sort of different genre. It's referred to these days as the Chitlin Circuit, funk, soul, etc. Released his first album in 1979 called Rush Hour. And it's like a real smooth, jazzy sound. But with his song, the thing that I noticed, all of his albums, was they were all blues-based. He would sing blues songs. He did his rendition of Take Me to the River, just like Al Green and some of his contemporaries. And a cool thing, I just found out he was featured in the Martin Scorsese series called The Blues. He, B.B. King, and one other person whose name escapes me, was the subject of one of the documentaries. So he is a very well-respected soul blues singers. And what we're about to see is, this is something they sent out on the Blues Foundation newsletter. He's going to do an acoustic set here. This is not really... What would you say? It's a little. It's a, they're known for their hamburgers. It's not a. It's not a music hall.
Just a little downtown hamburger joint.
So it'll be real cool. Hopefully we'll get a seat. We're about to head in as soon as we finish our beer, and hopefully bring you some bootleg recording. And maybe we'll after we get enough beers in us, force our way to the front and talk to Bobby himself. We'll see.
This morning, oh, what a surprise. When I was coming in, my woman was going out. She was sharp as a type, clean as a pin. She said, "Don't everywhere I'm going, I won't ask you where you've been." Hey, Bobby Rush.
Bobby Rush.
What you do? Said what's good for the goose is good for the gander too. She said, "Be true to me, I'll be true to you. But if you cheat on me, I'm gonna cheat on you. Eye for eye, tit for tat. If you give away your dog, she said, hey, Bobby Rush.
Bobby Rush.
What you do would never do." She said, "What's good for the goose is good for the gander too."
Bye.
what's good for the goose, you know it's good for the gander too. Little love thing, she said. She said, I done found out by doing that woman cross town. She said, I can't stop you, but I sure can slow you down. She said, if you get you someone, I'm gonna find me someone too. Cause what's good for the goose is good for the gander too. She said, hey, hey, baby, what you're doing would never do. She said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander too. She said, just because you're working and paying a bill or two, don't think you can take your thing, man, and do what you want to do. You wanna run the street, give other women your money. You think I'm gonna take that, man? You got another thing coming. She said, hey, Bobby Rush. She said, what you doing would never do.
What you doing would never do.
She said, what's good for the goose, you know it's good for the gander too. What's good for the goose is good for the gander too. What's good for the goose?
So as you just heard, we were in the parking lot drinking a beer, a good beer, and waiting to go see a good show. We didn't really know what we were going to walk into. We were a little late getting down there, and things went quite well for us, as you're about to hear. We met Bobby Rush. We watched his show, and this kind of goes back to what we've said on earlier shows. The best way to see the blues is live. It's just nothing like a CD.
More better.
Much more better. I mean, it's just – and this guy, though, he's a guy that is – and he was talking to us about this. He said, you know, I could go and sell out concerts. He's up there with B.B. King, Buddy Guy, and all these folks. But he wanted to do this very small venue, and it was great. And apparently Martin's his new best friend.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's
yeah,
like –
they hit it off.
We could not have been in a better spot, a better position, and he was just so accessible and wanting to talk and cut up with everybody. I think he could not – he could not have had a better time.
I think he had a good time.
It was great. It was really
– it's almost like he's giving back to the fans that made him what he is, you know?
Yeah. And so we got some more clips on this, and we're going to play some Bobby Rush for you. So this is kind of, you know, the beer wasn't everything we usually have on the show, but it was a good mix of blues and beer. And we had no barbecue. I guess the wings counted a little bit, but it's good stuff. So here's a little sample of Bobby Rush, and then we'll come back and let you hear our further adventures into this.
You know they call me the howling wolf, cause I've been howling round your door. You know they call me the howling wolf, well, cause I've been howling round. Well, if you give me what I want, little girl, you won't have to hear me howl no more. I've been howling so long, you know I done made my tonsils sore. I've been howling so long, people, you know it done made my tonsils sore. Well, if you give me what I want, little girl, you won't have to hear me howl no more. Sometime I get to howling, yeah. I go and dig me a hole down in the ground. Sometime I get to howling, people. I go and dig me a hole down, down in the ground. Well, when I start making love to my woman, then I don't want no one else around.
I started playing in 1951.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, I left my little hometown in 1947.
Uh-huh.
Went to Pine Bluff, Arkansas State for a few years with my father, who pastored a church over there. In 1951, I moved to Chicago. I stayed there for 43 years.
Right.
Now Jackson.
Well, why did you come back to Memphis? I mean, it sounded like Memphis would be more of a center point for you.
Well, I went because that's a center point. If you look on the map, Jackson, Mississippi is the center of the South.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I could go out, go back, but with my grandkids, get back home to my grandkids. I just look for a place, you know, where I could look out, basically,
right.
Back home.
Okay.
You know.
So you don't consider Memphis then the influence for you? Or?
Oh, yeah, Memphis, there, but it's not the center of the South, because during them time, my grandkid was small,
uh-huh.
And you want to get back quick as you can. To the grandchildren, so on and so on. You know?
So that's why Chicago's where your grandchildren are.
Oh, no. Grandchildren is Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Jackson.
Yeah. Right. So it's going to get back to the kids.
Okay.
Because you're originally from Louisiana, right?
Because when I live in Chicago, I go out on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I come back on a Monday or Tuesday. I stay home one day, I leave again.
Yeah.
But in Jackson, Mississippi, I'm out. On a Thursday, I'll be back on a Monday. I'm home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right. I have 3 days home.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, I was down in Jackson this last week, and a guy took me by an old house downtown, like in the downtown area of Jackson, the old part of Jackson.
Yeah.
It was an old house, and he said they played blues music there, but it wasn't open.
It's not open, but they're trying to get it open now. Called there, all right. The last of the juke joint. If you saw that, that's what
okay.
We...
Okay. Uh-huh. Are they going to get it going again?
Yeah. This house... The history on it, in 1951 and 52, that place and the Edward Lee Hotel were the only place we could stay as black musicians.
Okay.
That's why we bought from that.
I got you.
And that's what that house used to be?
When will they get it open again, you think?
Well, they need $300-something thousand. We took up $212,000 already, but they're going to get it open.
Okay.
Oh, very cool.
Good.
Jane Brown, and I used to play that all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, hey.
I think we got a table.
Have you ever played with Blind Mississippi Morris?
No, I didn't ever play with them, but I know them. But
we were trying to help him. They tried to take his house away. We were part of the fundraiser.
I've heard about it.
He hadn't lost it yet. It's been a little touch and go.
Yeah.
Dr. Flynn here, who owns the radio station, was
he's
big.
He's big.
I heard about it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, he's
how old is he?
Uh, Morris.
Morris.
He's not that old.
Well, he went
he's
about
like
50. 55. Yeah. Like 55.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not much older than me.
You know, it's kind of like Dick said, you know, he can't see, so he doesn't care what his house looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it looks great to him.
Yeah, it looks great to him. He doesn't care.
He's the nicest
but,
guy.
But the neighbors, you know, the neighbors are pissed off because of the place not being kept up. So that's what they're trying to do is raise some money and get it fixed up for him. That way he can hang on to it.
Well, I'm involved with a jail minister now for about 11 years, and I'm trying to educate the musician, especially the black musician, to be men and not cross over but don't cross out. I'm one of the few guys who it's been very hard for me because I stood so firm of who I am as a musician, as a black musician, and I stuck with that. And I love what I do and I love who I am, and it's really it's a bad situation with me when I hear black entertainers, black musicians don't want to be black. When I say don't want to be black, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because when you go to festivals, you see the white people support it, but the blacks don't.
Yeah.
And that bothers me as a race, because they don't support it. And most of it because, a lot of it because of the promoters themselves, because that's a fine line. If you
talk about the dollar to them, don't you think?
Yeah.
Very few have a true love of the music. Yeah, it's all about the dollar.
It's about the dollar, but it's more than the dollar. It's because if it's about getting black people to come to a festival, they know who to get. They can, the same money they pay Elton John, they can pay Al Green. You'll see it different in the crowd.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
They control it. You know, if, when you go downtown Chicago, they don't say you're not welcome. They just say the rent is $5,000. Get what that tells you.
Yeah. So, there you go.
So it's political. But it's all right, but you got to deal with it.
But you got to change all that when you're president, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, take your ass all over there.
Hey, we'll have Dick Pepper as your vice president.
Campaign manager, but right here in Memphis.
But I try to educate men, especially the black musician, to be firm and be happy and be proud of yourself. Some of the guys not proud of themselves, because I hear guys talking, Buddy and all of them talking about what they're going to do. When we talking among ourselves, they talk one talk, but when you shows up, the conversation changes.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
My conversation will never change.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good.
Just being true to yourself.
True to myself.
That's it.
True to myself. Because the guys go in the studio, well, we're going to cut this because I think white people like this. I'm going to cut like this. I think black people like it. You should cut what you feel.
That's right.
And hope everybody like it.
Make that's the music. Right. Make right. the music.
Make it for you first. Everybody else second.
Would you see me sit down here tonight? What you see is what you get.
What is your influence? I mean, what do you call upon to develop the songs that you write?
I guess influence because my biblical study. I had 3 beers in 1957. I had a beer. I hadn't had one before or since. I don't drink, smoke, get high, no form of fashion. I don't do everything just right, but that ain't one of my downfalls.
It's not your thing.
No.
But you lead a life that you feel that promotes the music that you produce?
That's right. When you listen to my music, once you get to know me, that's my personality.
Okay.
You know?
All right, so I take it then that you don't have any writers. You write your own.
I write 99% of everything I do. I produce it. This is my record company. I'm one of the few guys. I got 249 records. I own the masters of 99% of all of this shit.
Okay. Now, your record company is Deep Rush?
Deep Rush, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't always been on Deep Rush. I have been on many labels.
Yep.
But I was fortunate enough to lease to different labels, even on Malaco. But they don't tell a story, but Bobby Rush went on the label. I leased to the label.
Now, I was listening to, I was kind of, before we came down here, I started going through your catalog.
Yeah.
Started with Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Worked my way forward.
Yeah.
And the thing I noticed is that even, and then you were like considered part of that Chitlin circuit a little bit, but you were nowhere near like everybody else. And they kind of have this one central theme over here, and you weren't bluesing almost every album you had.
Yeah, but I was in a control of it because I didn't record with Chess. I recorded on Chess label in 1951.
Yeah.
But I record for Chess. I record on the label. reason I did that went on the label because they want to tell me what to record, how to record it. But they want me to record like Muddy Waters and all the guys.
Yeah. Then trying to put you into the bucket. Yeah.
Well,
they did it with a lot of
it was very hard for me to cross over because I got these big butt black girls on the stage with me. But guys said, well, what are they trying to say to me? But after 74 years old, they said, well, let him go. He ain't no threat to nobody. You know?
That's
he can't do no fucking no way. You know?
That's a question I want to ask. From your beginnings to you now, what has been the greatest change that you could attribute to what's going on in the music world?
I haven't been anything changed but my age. My age would make people comfortable with me. I think if I was 25 years old now, I would be a threat to a lot of people. If I weighed 300 pounds, I wouldn't be no threat. Yeah. Or if I was a punk, if I was a sissy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let you go, Bobby. I know it's about time, getting close to time.
Yes,
appreciate it, sir.
But I started recording in 1951. I don't claim to be a young boy, but I do claim to be blessed. November 10th, I'm 74 years old. So by the time I get through tonight, anybody want a babysitter? That's 74, what can I do? I'm actually a good babysitter. I say that because I've been recording now for 50 some odd years. I have 269 records. That's a little while. And I believe that I wrote everything but two songs that I recorded. Other than the fact I, on the last CD, I recorded, what did I put in for you? No, that's the last one. I just want to let people know this. I went back and did a record like this, acoustic record, and I'm doing some acoustic things that I'm doing tonight because I haven't did this for 50 years. The reason why I did this because I class myself with the B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Robert Cray, Etta James, and many guys in that status. But I think I'm about the only one who will work for 20 to 100,000 people in China like I did last week and come back to a place where you see 150 people. My plan is to do more of this because I want people to be affordable to the people who cannot afford. I don't mean the guys who own this restaurant is broke, but he is cheap. Hey, you look at him. Man. He's all right with me. I say that because in Jokely, because I want people to be afford me. Because when I got the band and got the girls around me, it costs more money to travel up down the road and pay these people to do this. But when you're doing an acoustic like this, I can do it economically. You follow me? So that's why I'm here to just play this. Now, you won't see the same thing you will see when the girls are with me, but I have one with me. She's not this playing herself tonight, so suffer. You got a substitute?
Lois.
Lois? Lois, will you do your audition when I'm done? Because I speak about ladies dancing with me. If they get a certain age, and they have to leave because I don't believe in punishing old ladies because when they get down, they can't get up. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about them. I said it because all in fun. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to play some old stuff, some new stuff. I want everybody to pick this record up because this is brand new. It just came out this week. It's a CD that's been out for a little while, but we added to this week. It's called Bobby Rush for President. And I'll give you a sneak preview. I'm not talking about vote for me. I'm telling you that I don't want you to vote for me because I don't want to be the president because I'm afraid someone will see me with my girlfriend and my wife. And now I'm all up in the TV and on the newspaper, catalog me running behind my can't go to the bathroom without somebody watching me. So I don't want to be the president for that reason. So I pass this down to the gentleman next year. We probably vote for a gentleman own this club, so you won't see me or him here anymore. So maybe he can run for president since he don't pay well. Now, this is a fine place. I said that joke. This is a fine place, fine food. And I did order myself a sandwich and eat it. So if anybody see my sandwich, keep it warm till I eat it. Keep it warm till I get down. And he asked me to do anything that I want in the place. So I'll write it on a piece of paper and pass it to him in a minute. But that's some things I want. Let me tell you, when I first went to Chicago, this is my best player now, because I believe B.B. King is 82. Chuck Berry is 80, Bobby Bland 77, Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley is about the same. I think both of them 80, and I'm the youngest one of the bunch of that bunch. Right after went out with the Chess Record. When I went to Chess Record in 1951, I went to record for Chess, but I wound up with VJ Records. But at that time, VJ Record wasn't VJ Record. It was CJ Record. That was Calvin Carter and Vivian Carter, sister and brother. She started dating in 1953 to a gentleman named Jimmy out of Gary, Indiana, had a record shop called Jimmy's Record Shop. When they dated and got married, they changed the label to VJ Records. And I think I told them the other day that I used to make a lot of money with Jimmy Reed, because Jimmy Reed was a guy that drinks a lot. Bless his heart, he didn't know what he was drinking, when he was drinking. So he would give me a dollar and a quarter to go buy him some gin. Gin cost 99 cents. And this is the truth. I used to take the gin bottles and buy me four or five gin bottles. I would pour about this much gin in a bottle, this stuff would walk. I'd bring it to Jimmy Reed about 10 times a day. So he'd drink about two pints and I'd sell it to him for a gallon. So I would make about $6 a day on Jimmy Reed. Now, you got to understand, in 1951, $6 a day was a lot of money. But I did that. That's bad. That's terrible. But I did Jimmy Reed like that. I wouldn't do him like that for once or twice if he was living today. So I remember when Jimmy Reed was coming to the studio, he was playing something like this. Situation? No, I'm not. Because if it wasn't for the white audience and the blues society, I don't know what we would do as a race and as a blues singer if it wasn't for you guys accepting me for what I do in the blues. Because when you go to the blues festival, you don't have that many black people come to the blues festival. So thank y'all for coming and putting it back on the map. You know, I say that because I remember 25 or 30 years ago, I saw the invented a wow wow so the white guys could sing and play like the black guys play. Now what make me mad, you got black guys buying wow wow trying to sound like a white guy trying to sound black. You know? That's like all backwards to me. You know? But it's all about good music. And I don't want to hear any more guys about, I'm going to record this because I think this is what the white people like. I'm going to record this because I think what black people like. I record what I feel and hope everybody likes it. But the night what you see is what you get.
Amen.
You like it? You really like it? ever been mistreated? Yeah. By someone you so much love?
Yes.
Have you ever been mistreated?
Yeah.
By someone you so much love? Out of all the men my woman could have left me for, she left me for the damn garbage man. No matter how bad she treated me, you know I still can't get a good stuff out of my mind. No matter how bad the woman treated me, people, you know I still can't get that good stuff out of my mind. Every time I see a garbage can, I think about her and a damn garbage man all the time. If I ever get a bike, I'm gonna buy myself a garbage truck. If I ever get my woman back, I'm gonna buy myself a big garbage truck. When my garbage can get full, I'm gonna take it and dump that stuff out in the woods. We're gonna have some fun. Somebody said, "What, Bobby Rush? What the worst thing you ever wrote about?" Well, that's one of them. Someone said, "Well, Bobby Rush, you write all these things about the blues. What's wrong? Your woman left you? Well, you certainly can have a blues when your woman leaves you, but you can also have a blues when you stay too long." When I'm nice, when you hate to tell them goodbye, you know what I mean? We're going to reach back 30 some odd years. Daddy told me on the diabetes. Y'all remember this song? Anybody remember Chicken Head? You remember Chicken Head? Let me talk to you a minute. Let me talk to you a minute about this song here. Because these young folks, they know about Chicken Head. But I cut this record before the young folks know about the Chicken Head. Let me tell you the story about this song. 35 years ago when I recorded this song, it was a big record, sold about 9 million records.
This album's over,
Al. I was in the studio, I was in the studio with Calvin Carter. And I said, "Calvin Carter, I have a record I want to record." He said, "What's the name of your record?" I said, "Chicken Heads." He said, "Chicken Heads." And I thought right away that was too, let me see what the word, but that was too, yes, it, now that's it, for him. So I said, "Chick Head." He said, "Chick Head, not Chick Head. Chicken Head I can deal with, but I can't deal with Chick Head." Well, that's the name of my song. It was Chick Head. Well, I told him Chicken Head. He said, "Oh, you from down south. Y'all eat chicken heads down there, don't y'all?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Sing me a little song, or just a little piece of it." So I didn't have a guitar with me. I sung it I can probably look at this part. I said, Daddy told me on the dying bed, get up your heart, but don't use your head. You came along, girl, what did I do? I lost my heart and my head, too, which had nothing to do with the chicken. He said, do you have another record that if we cut this record, we need an A and a B? I said, I got a B side. He said, what is it? I said, Mary Jane. He said, oh, yeah, I had a girl. Did we wrong her? They were Mary Jane, too, which had nothing to do with a girl. So no matter where I thought, I knew I had to be two guys that understand where I was coming from. So, yeah, this is my record from this one.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I can pee down their back and tell them it rained. And the song went, Daddy told me on that day, give up your heart, but don't lose your head. You came along, girl, what did I do? Lost my heart and head too. Lord, little girl, little girl, you sure can cook. Should be working but a moment day. Thinking about dreaming about love that girl. Well, I love them chicken heads too. Well, that's your love. Just came home. We did not help you, girl. Much too strong. Daddy told me, said, son, when you grow up, please be a good man. Mama used to tell me the same old damn thing. I don't care what my mama told me. Don't care what my daddy said. Because I'm 21 years old and better. I'm going to hunt down this head. She can hear that. Y'all can't say too much because you're with your wife tonight. But just let me talk. Put it on me. Now, you see, I went back home. I met this girl I hadn't saw in about 25 years. She took me in the basement. First of all, before she took me in the basement, we stopped by a little bar and had a drink. Well, I poured me a drink. I pulled her a drink. At that time, one of them was kind of losing. I gave you three guesses who it was the first two on that. And she took me down to the basement. Don't know how to be in there in that 20 years. Looked like to me somebody been harmed. Spiral away over to the ceiling. Human skull was stacked in the floor. Then she took me down the basement. She laid me down on one of those ragged looking beds. And she got a rope, tied my hand, tied my feet.
Yeah.
And she tied my little butt to the bed. I ran that helpless to the moon up on the head. Don't y'all say that's enough. See, I was on in and I helped it. Y'all got some dirty times up there. Couldn't move nothing but my head. Then she went out into the kitchen and she was going about 12 or 14 women. I got nervous. I didn't know what she was doing in that damn kitchen. She came back out the kitchen with a bucket of lard in her hand. She turned me face down and she raised me real good. Then she turned me over and raised me some more. By that time, I put asleep. I didn't know what she was going to do next. Then she went out the room and stayed 5 more minutes. I got nervous. I didn't know what she was doing. Then she came back in the house, in the room where I'm laying down, with a baseball bat in her hand. Then she laid the bat down. I was like, glad of that. Then she went back in the room, got another bucket of lard, and came back in the room. She ran the bat with that. I said, Lord, please don't let this woman do what I think she would do. That ain't funny either. I said, she ran the bat. I was praying. And you know what happened? I got the moon, you know, boogie, y'all. I got the moon, yo, boogie. That's all I can tell y'all about that. y'all want that, right? y'all too slippery. Y'all man be running. What happened? I thought you would ask me that. That's right. Whatever that thought is, you're right. What you did.
So that's a little sample of the Bobby Rush show. And what'd y'all think?
I was impressed. I really was. I had a great time. I thought the guy was truly a what you call an entertainer.
I mean,
up on the stage, just him and his guitar and a microphone and a harmonica and had the whole crowd just kind of in his hands, you know.
Yeah, really working the crowd. And
yeah.
Well, yeah, he's been around for, well, he says he's been recording since 51. I mean, you know that he has gone out to other venues and basically honed his craft.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that, by the way, that he was able to ad-lib as people were coming and going, which is a sign of he's done this a lot.
A whole lot. I mean, it was a professional show, but I think we talked about it earlier that it was an intimate venue. And he was just having a good time. It really showed, and I think it really endeared the audience to him, too.
Yeah, that latest CD is Bobby Rush Raw. And, I mean, that's what it was. It was a raw show.
Yeah, yeah, like you said.
It was raw. I mean, very explicit and, you know.
Yeah, not like in a trash way. I mean, he got a little... A lot suggestive, but I mean, it was just fun.
It was fun.
Not something you bring the kids to, but it was just a lot of fun. I mean, I think there was more laughing than him singing.
Well, I've been to the concerts and seen other artists, and most of them are there for the buck. I mean, they're there to put on a show, get paid, and go on to the next show.
Yeah.
And he was there to have fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really honestly thought that if he didn't get paid, he didn't really care.
No, he was having a great time with the audience. He was promoting his CDs, but there wasn't a single person that came up to him. He wouldn't say, come on up here, let's take a picture, sign your autograph, what have you.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He wasn't aloof. He wasn't off to the side. No. He wasn't standoffish. He was getting into his crowd, and the crowd, when he quit, got into him.
Yeah. And so that just goes back to what we said at the top of the show. The best way to see a blues show, man, if you can't get out and go see one, you're just missing out. It's a whole other experience.
You're right.
Yeah, I would have to say that there was the outside of 150 people in the audience, if that many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were
that small a venue.
Yeah, and
it wasn't even a cover charge.
No, that's right. No cover. Just show up.
Yeah. They actually were lined up outside of the restaurant itself, and they brought in chairs so those people could sit and listen while waiting to get in.
The ones who couldn't come in. So it was just really a class act all the way around. We could not have been more fortunate in getting our seats. I mean, you can't get any closer. You know, I mean, the guy had come over and basically hanging out with us the whole time. So, good stuff. Here's a little Bobby Rush to lead out. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Come back and see us.
Take care.
I got a problem, and my problem about to get me down. In fact, I got three big problems, and my problem about to get me down. I got a problem with my woman, with my girlfriend, and my wife. And when my problem first started, y'all, I was sticking around with number three. Number two, she got jealous, put my wife on me. And my wife, she got mad, moved back home to her mother. Number two, she left town. And number three, she found a brand new lover. I got a problem, and my problem about to get me down. Oh, Lord. I got a problem with my woman, with my girlfriend, and my wife. She can cook. Number two got plenty of money. Number three can't cook at all, but she sure got some good honey. I got a problem, and my problem about to get me down. Oh, oh. I got a problem with my woman, with my girlfriend, and my wife. I got a problem, and my problem about to get me down. I got a problem, and my problem about to get me down. I got a problem with my woman, with my girlfriend, and my wife. Got a problem. I got three problems, and they all about to get me down. I got a problem with my girlfriend, with my woman, and my wife.